Today we're going to be going through a lot of scriptures today, and some of them are written in your insert. In the bulletin, you can write some notes as well. And to let you know, I was preparing like three different messages this week, so I got a little confused, and I missed 2 points in this one, so you can just scribble them in later. As bonus points, no extra charge. Okay, so before we go into the word, let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this family of God that we have. We thank you, God, that this family, we are all welcome and received with grace. Lord, it doesn't matter our background, our education, anything. We thank you that you receive us and you love us. And today, Lord, as we are challenged by the message of obedience, would you open our hearts? Would you make us easily moldable by your Holy Spirit? Lord God, just personally, I really need your instruction. I need your transformation. And I pray that that would happen in all of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So last week, I started talking about the Great Commission, that this is the final words of Jesus before he ascends to the Father. And his final words to us is to say that, you know, I really want you to realize that you, as God's people here on earth, you're not just here to wait around. You have something to do. And he commissioned us to go into the world. And what we studied last week was that we are called not to create believers, but we are called to create disciples, to be a disciple and to invite others into discipleship. One verse that I didn't mention last week, really illustrating this, is in James. James was saying, look, there are people out there that probably believe, but that's not true faith. In fact, James says, look, the demons even know that there is one God, and at least they shudder. Okay, and so James, and I mean, it's a very kind of strong statement, but James is even saying, look, the demons even are one better than us, because at least they have an appropriate response. And so the challenge for us is not to have a Christianity of just belief, but of discipleship. And so that was a very challenging message to prepare for, and this week was even more challenging for me to talk. He's not just calling us for discipleship, but also calling us to be obedient people and also to invite others into that life of obedience. And that's what I want to talk about today. And this whole question of obedience, I feel in our day and age, it's a hard thing to preach. A lot of people resist it. A lot of people are thinking, when I start talking about obedience, it's heavy-handed. When I talk about obedience, maybe the first thing you're thinking of or childhood memories of your parents saying, like, just do it. Just do what I say. I remember once my dad, you know, God bless him. I love him very much. But I remember him saying, why can't you just say, yes, sir, and just do it, you know? And I'm thinking, you know, maybe sometimes pastors, you felt like a pastor has said this to you. Just do it. Look, I just read you the Bible verse. Just do it. Maybe you're a parent yourself, and you look at these strange, rebellious children, and you look at their stubborn, hardened hearts, and you have no idea where it came from, because clearly your DNA is not like that at all. And so you look at them as these strange little monsters, and you're wondering, why can't you just obey me? You know, why can't I just program you? And why doesn't it work? And so this whole thing about obedience is something that we really all struggle with. But we can't get around from the fact that Christ is calling disciples. He's calling for disciples, and today he is calling for obedience. And rather than thinking of obedience as something that's unreasonably harsh, I encourage you today to think about obedience in a new way. And what I want to say today about obedience is this, is that obedience is the greatest expression of our love. We display the proof and the reality of our life with God and through the way we live. You see, love is an active word. Love is a verb. You can say a lot of things, but it is through the way in which you live that you show the truth of who you love. 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. John chapter 14, verse 23 to 24 says this, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. I mean, it's pretty very clear here in John 14. Anyone who loves God, anyone who says that they follow Jesus Christ, anyone who declares devotion will obey. You know, it's a bit uncomfortable how clear it is. Anyone who loves God will obey. Another verse, 2 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. And he's writing this to some of his beloved brothers and sisters, the Apostle John. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And this is love. See, Apostle John says this very clearly too. He's saying this is love, that we walk in obedience. It is in obedience that we find true love. Many people can say things, but it's through the way in which we shape our lives, the choices that we make, that we display who we truly love. As we sang today in that song, you know, as for me and my house, look, choose for yourselves today what you're going to do, because what you choose will show who you love. And so, from these scriptures, you can say many things in church. You can say many things outside of church. But the proof, the true expression of who we love will be found in what we obey. Which brings us to our second point in 1 John, chapter 3, verse 4 to 11, is that our obedience is the proof of a life that is born anew in Christ. Let me read this to you. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Now look at this. Now, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning, because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. These are strong words. This is actually a part of the Bible that, you know, I confess I would like to avoid. When I read this, I'm thinking, couldn't you be a little more vague? Couldn't you be a little less, like, I don't know, a little more, less clear, please? But he's saying, look, the real, this is the mark. Who are the children of God? They are people who now change their life. They don't obey their own inner rule. They just do their own thing. They now live in a new way. And what I love about the gospel is that it says to you, just as you are welcome here. It doesn't matter what your background is, however you dress, whoever you are welcome in this church. If we ever get to a point where CCC is not like that, then we are not biblical, okay? We welcome all. Just as you are welcome through these doors. But the thing that we must make clear is that when you encounter Christ, you will not walk away just as you are. And sometimes we focus so much on that, just as I am, I come, and just as I am, I leave. And then we have not really encountered what it means to be the children of God. When you become the children of God, there is a transformation. Your will is no longer simply your will, but your will is now entwined with the will of God. And the question now is, as we become Christian, is how can we obey if we don't know what to obey? And that is why it says, Jesus says, to obey everything I command and also teach others obedience. There's a responsibility on our part to learn. What does Jesus Christ teach us? You know, I think as a challenge to those who are in positions of influence, whether you're a parent or someone in a position of leadership in the secular realm, you know, sometimes what we teach others about what God is like, what it is to love God, we're very limited in our vocabulary because we don't really know much about what does God want anyways. We live in a generation that is very biblically illiterate. We don't know what is right. What is it to be obedient? How can you say you're obedient if you don't even know what it is you're supposed to be obeying? And there is a challenge for all of us to be familiar with our Bibles, to be familiar with the whole Word of God, not just the verses that we really like. You know, I keep talking about this devotional thing that Rhea and I are going through, and we're just, it's not a very difficult pace. It's about going through the entire Bible in 2 years. And we just have this little thing online that we just read. And, you know, there are parts, there are seasons when I go through that devotional and I'm thinking, ah, this is the book I didn't really want to read. Oh, this is so difficult. It's so boring. Or I have a real problem with reading this stuff. But it's only when you see the full picture that you begin to really see, what does it mean to be the child of God? And it is essential that we know this because this is going to be the proof of what it looks like to be a child of God, that we are obedient people. You know, for our children, do we know really what it means to be obedient before God? Can we impart that to people? Do I live it myself? You know, for myself as a pastor, if you're leading a cell group, if you're in position of leadership at the church, do you know what it means to be obedient in this situation? And do you know how to impart that onto others? Because in the Bible, there is no kind of distinction. It is right living equals righteousness. And when I talk about this obedience at this point, I think there's a lot of maybe fear that creeps up. Maybe we start kind of thinking about how, wow, this sounds a lot like when I was scolded when I was younger, like you did the wrong thing, you're not good enough. And that's where I want to just pause a bit in this message, is to talk about that is what is so wonderful about this message of grace. You see, God is not calling obedience, because when we think about obedience, we're thinking about perfection without blemish. Okay, and I can tell you, I'll be the first to admit, I am not perfect. I am definitely not without blemish. I mean, you just need to talk to Rhea for a couple of minutes and you'll know. A lot of blemishes, right? A lot of blemishes. But you see, a lot of when we're growing up, when we're thinking about obedience, like having obedient children, when we're being obedient before God, we're thinking like someone who passes the test, right? We check off all the boxes and they pass the test. But the fact is, the reality is, all of us will make mistakes. We should have been obedient. But what really proves an obedient heart is that even if you do wrong, you know where to turn to. You know how to turn around. And you see, God is not so much like, oh, when you come before him on the judgment day, he's not going to look at you and say like, well, how was your report card? Oh, look at all these mistakes you made. He's not going to be looking so much at that, but he's going to be looking at, look, when you made a mistake, what did you do? Did you know that you were doing a mistake, and did you know enough to turn around? See, today I'm not asking for perfect people. Obedience is about when we are disobedient, when our will comes before God and we choose our will. Do we know enough? Is our hearts warm enough? Do we know, like, this life of disobedience, this is not what I am as a child of God. Do I know enough to turn around and make my life right? The worst and most dangerous Christian I meet are the ones who always feel that they are right and that they're beyond reproach and that there is nothing to change. And that is not true obedience. Obedience is the proof of a life that is born anew in Christ. Your heart is changed. Your values are changed. When you do wrong, you know that you need to turn around. And this is part of what we do as Christians in our life. I know this message has gotten unpopular in our day and age because we talk a lot about all these kind of services where people are just accepted. But we have to speak truth in this matter, which I want to bring to my third point, about obedience is a blessing and not a burden. I think a lot of the times that we have difficulty with obedience is because we're thinking, obedience sounds like such a difficult word. When I think of obedience, I'm immediately thinking of, you know, childhood memories of, did you, you know, practice violin or not? And did you practice the piano or not? And I thought of all these schemes of how to get out of it. I remember telling you guys about how I do recordings of me playing the flute and playing in the room. Yeah, Mom, I'm playing. Yeah, that's right. You know, I thought I was so clever. And then sometimes I'd open up the piano bench, like warm the seat. Like, yeah, when they come back, yes, I practice. Look, feel the bench. Look how warm it is, you know? However, my parents, I always thought I was smarter than my parents, but I was not, and I really paid for it sometimes. You know, sometimes we talk about obedience to this. It's like, you know, fear is just driving us. You know, it's just a burden. Oh, wake up in the morning, do this, do that. You know, we think of obedience as this difficult thing, and then we look at God as this difficult taskmaster. But God is not asking us to do things to make our life difficult. He's asking us to do this because this is the way that life was intended. This is the way that God created us. He says, I've created you for a life of blessing. And if you want to live this life of blessing, then you need to live as you're created. You know, earlier I asked everyone to fan each other. And, you know, we're thinking, like, that's not a difficult command because people benefit from that. And there's a sort of a shift, but I did ask of it. I'm saying, like, this is what we do when we help each other. Obedience is a blessing. Obedience is the way that we enter into what God has intended for us. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20 to 25 says this. This is right before the people of God are going into the promised land, and Moses, unfortunately, cannot go with them. So before they go in, he gives them his final words, and he tells them, this is how you need to live when you inherit God's promised land. And he says, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God. Why? So that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. And so this is what God is saying to us. He says, obey, not just because I told you so. Obey so that it may go well with you. Obey to live well. Obey to live the best way. And this is difficult. Obedience, I want to be very clear, is a hard thing to do. There are times when there is a real challenge of wills. You know that what is before you is the right way, when the Spirit is leading you to the way of righteousness. But there is something inside of you, you know, the Bible kind of calls this like the spirit of the flesh, the kind of the internal, selfish, inward-looking thing. It wants to sort of do another way. And it's in that battle of wills. In that moment, you're thinking, is it really worth it? Do I really want to do that? And the way that Satan gets me every time is he keeps telling me, like, look, to do the obedient thing is such a burden. It's such a drag. But what God's trying to say to us here, as he was saying through Moses to the people of God, obedience will go well with you. He's a loving parent. He knows the path ahead of you, as some of you have seen some of your children. Look, I'm not telling you this because I'm just trying to be difficult. I have gone down this road. I've made this decision, and it was really bad for me. Go this way because it's going to go well with you. It's not about my will. It's not about me trying to win. It's not a battle. We're not trying to debate. I am trying to ask you to go this way because it's good for you. It will be this that saves your life. I think about all these difficult choices that we have to make in our life. Maybe, you know, many of you are inheritances of, godly parents who came to this country with difficulty. as a great minority, not just as an ethnic minority, but also in faith. Your parents were a minority, but they made decisions to choose Christ. And as a result, you have now inherited that blessing of faith, of obedience. And we now, in this generation, have the choice to make the right decisions, to be the right kind of people, to continue that path of blessing. Think about the people in Egypt. God commanded them to leave slavery. It was a command. But what if they said, you know what, we don't want to leave slavery. In fact, some people didn't want to. They felt like, you know what, living in slavery seems to be better. We don't want to go out there into the Red Sea or whatever. It just seems too crazy. But if they had never done that, they never would have known what it meant to be free. They never would have come to Deuteronomy, where they inherited the promised land. And how often have we been so stubborn and so resistant to the move of God that we have not seen the promised land yet? And usually it's at this point, because I did 3 points, no pastor can go further than 3 points. It seems like it's an impossibility. But praise God, we're going to do it today. Which brings me to the other thing I want to talk about, obedience. And just two more things. And this is a little different. If we keep dwelling on our gifts and not the giver, disobedience creeps in. And this is kind of a qualifier. And this is again from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I'm going to explain this in a second. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs, gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And just go to verse 18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Now, what do I mean by this dwelling on the gifts thing? You know, sometimes as children, one of the best ways that we can kind of teach children to obey, you know, Rhea and I are just watching this documentary. It's kind of funny about, you know, these dogs that are rescued. And we're just having a very fun time watching this. And you know how they rehabilitate these dogs that are given up and thrown away, basically, is that they use treats. You know, dogs use treats. What do we do with kids? We use treats of all kinds. You know, hey, if you do this, I'll da-da-da. And, you know, and then we have all these obedient children as long as we get the treats. And, you know, we do that with God often, too. We obey something with God, and then we're thinking, wow, I got the treat from God, whatever that might be. God, I'll totally obey you. If you can just answer this prayer. God, I didn't study at all. I am so dead. God, just give me an A on this test, and I will keep going to church. Hallelujah. You know, we have all these. Looking at you, kids. Do you pray that? I don't know. Anyways. We have all sorts of, I mean, you know, I'm being a little comical, but we do that all the time with God. We do these sort of bargains. And, you know, the interesting thing about God is that he does bless obedience. There have been times, you know, in my life where I made the right choice for God, and I was blessed. You know, I know 2 years ago, Rhea and I were very challenged in a lot of ways, and we just tried to really trust in God, and we were so blessed as a result. You know, it was a difficult time. There were many places where we could have made some very bad choices, but God blessed us. Now, the challenge in Deuteronomy, Moses says this. He sees in advance, and he says, you know, there is a temptation that when we are blessed by God, when we get the gifts from God, we get so wrapped up in the gifts that we forget the giver. And we get so caught up with the gifts, we begin to confuse, where did these gifts come from? We start to think, like, maybe it came from me because of what I did. You know? Maybe, and then we start kind of turning around obedience as something about us and not about God. It's not about following God's way, but it was more like, because I did the right thing, because I was smart enough, because I was pious enough, because I was good enough. And then slowly, little by little, this is the very subtle change that many of us Christians have to struggle with. We get so caught up in the gifts and the blessings of yesterday that we never move forward in future obedience. You see people just kind of dreaming up, oh, do you remember 2 years ago when we were so obedient and we were so blessed by that? Yeah, yeah. Man, that was wow, God is so good. He was so good then. And what am I supposed to do today? Whatever. But, you know, God is so good yesterday. And that's exactly what happened to some of the people in the Promised Land. We got so caught up in the blessings of the past. When we get so fed and so satisfied, we can't possibly think what God might have for the future. And it is at that moment that we must remember the story of grace in our life. And that's what Moses is trying to do. He's saying, look, don't you remember the past stories of God, what he did? That past story of God, you need to keep remembering it because it's relevant right now. Thanksgiving is a wonderful thing, but the danger of Thanksgiving is that if you keep thinking about Thanksgiving in the past, you will continue to live your life in the past, sort of convincing yourself that everything is fine. When you're present, God is calling into new forms of obedience. The hard thing about the human heart is that it is quickly forgetful. We quickly forget the giver of gifts, and we stay on the gifts. Let us continue to keep our discipleship and our obedience alive by continuing to look to the giver and not just our gifts. Which brings me to this last point. I've said a lot of things about obedience, and this is one that I struggle with often. I often think, you know, if I obey God, everything's going to go my way. In fact, I test how was I right in obeying God by, like, I look at the fruits of what I did. And this is the last thing I want to say about obedience, is that obedience does not guarantee worldly success. Many of us, we have received a leading from God or an impression or some kind of calling from God. And as a result, in faith, we step out and we do it. And what happens? I find this often, and maybe you don't think this out loud, but I think a lot of us struggle with this. We sort of expect God to return the favor. Sam, I've called you to do this, and so I've done it. And now, very quietly, somewhere along the way, I'm thinking, so God, what are you going to do now? What are you going to pay me back with? And that is where we have to really kind of call ourselves out. You see, obedience does not always guarantee worldly success, because I think of the most obedient person, the person who said, you know, whatever the Father does, I do. Whatever he wants, that is my life. The food of my life is to do the will of my Father. He was so completely in line with the Father's will that anything the Father wanted, he simply was. That was his life. Who was this person? This was Jesus Christ. And what was the result of his great obedience on this earth? He started off with a following of thousands and thousands. Until the final week of his life, it just whittled down to about 12. And in fact, one of those 12 even betrayed him. And in the moment and the hour that he needed his friends the most, they fell asleep on him. And in fact, the end of his life, he died not with his friends, but with two criminals. And in fact, was treated and shamed as a criminal right to the end of his life. That is your model of obedience. When Jesus Christ was going through this, surely he was probably, you know, realizing, look, to be obedient does not always mean success. Sometimes I think, hey, am I really following God's will? Because, like, when I'm doing this, I'm just not doing very well. I'm just not very successful at it. And God is just, I mean, Rhea and I talk about this recently. Like, I think God has really been calling me out about a lot of things. There's been places in my life where I have tried my best to be obedient. And when I don't get the results I'm expecting, because I gave God a big favor, it is at that moment I realize my heart is quite selfish in my obedience. But the good news, though, is that you read the Bible, God indeed does reward obedience. Make no mistake, God is all about rewards. In fact, he talks about treasures, generous treasures. But these are the treasures of the kingdom of God. And the timing in which they are distributed, the timing in which we receive them, come at a very different time. In fact, for Jesus Christ, it only came after his death, when he ascended at the right hand of the Father. He went through all of that, but in fact, he received all glory and honor. But the timing was very different than the world's timing. Many people come to church and they think, look, I tried following Jesus Christ for a couple of months, and it didn't get me anything. And I'm saying, like, you know, you might need to think about, like, why are you trying to be obedient? For whose sake? For whose purpose? Obedience is not about worldly success. But I guarantee that a reward does come. But you must readjust your sense of timing. God is calling us all to obedience, to faithfulness. It is a hard message. It is that point in our life where we just have to admit there are points and there are areas of our life right now, all of us, where God is pushing us this way and we want to push that way. And even now as I speak of it, consider that point, that area of struggle. And I just want to encourage you as a fellow brother, let us let go of the fight, because God is asking us to come this way, that it may go well with you, that you may show the reality that you are a child of God, and that a reward is coming, that grace is coming. But he asks for patience. Let us all grow in our obedience together. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that in Christ we have found grace and love and acceptance. Today, God, would you teach us what it means to be obedient as Jesus Christ was obedient to the Father? Let us be people of love, grace, obedience. Let us go into the world being obedient and teaching obedience unto others for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This time